Shabbat Shalom. As always, if you didn't have a good week, let this beginning be the first, the beginning of a new week and a good week. I might borrow a phrase from Mr. Cleaver, another day in paradise. Thank God for that, huh? You and I live in a world that is, if not anything else, is certainly deceived. No matter what you read in the newspapers, even reading a book, if you go to a movie, if you go down to purchase a product, a service, or anything that you need, when you get there, you find that the thing that is advertised is not really the thing that was advertised. It's kind of been a deceptive ploy that's been applied. You go to the bank for a loan that they've advertised, that it's got these great terms. You get down, and then when you read the fine print, you find that you're in hock for life. It's certainly a time when deception is everywhere. Deception is big business. Big business makes billions of dollars by saying one thing and doing something else. Can you be deceived? How does one know if one is deceived, and just what is deception? To deceive, according to Vine's Bible Dictionary, means to cheat, to beguile that which gives a false impression, whether by appearance, statement, or influence. It signifies all manner of unscrupulous words and deeds designed to deceive. It means to snare, to use a bait, to be full of guile and subtlety, to corrupt, to ensnare by mingling the truth of the Word of God, in particular in these last days, if you watch televangelism, with false doctrine or notions, and so handling it deceitfully, deceiving people into false conversions, false baptisms, and false hopes. A deceiver is one who has a mind to twist that which is true, just enough truth to make you believe it. The purpose is to destroy by means of corrupting and so bringing into a worse state of being, the effect of being of dishonorable dealing by bringing people to want, the effect of the mind or thought or the twisting of the thought of believers by corrupting them from the simplicity and the purity that is toward Jesus Christ. It also brings people who've just escaped out of the sin back into their old nature, making them feel good about it. That it's okay, by grace you are saved, there's no need of the law. It causes one to wax corrupt, to be morally decayed, and come to a final ruin. With the significance of destroying, Vine says it is used of a marring of a local church by leading it astray from the conditions of holiness, of life, and purity of doctrine in which it should abide. That sounds familiar, doesn't it, to a lot of us. 1 Corinthians 3:17 says that if a man destroys the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Verse 18, that verse, first part says, let no man deceive himself. And you can read 1 Peter 2:12-13 that shows you what happens to those who use the ploy of deception to lead people astray. Deception is that which seems right, it sounds right, it feels right, maybe at times it even tastes right, it seems justified, it seems probable, it looks like the real thing, it feels like what is true, yet when subjected to a closer look and tested, it crumbles, revealing the stink, the stagnant cesspool that it is. It's the counterfeit of all, and you can underline all, A-double-L, that is right, good, holy, perfect, and pure. It fonds reality so closely that one can be coddled into believing that it is true. Christ tells us that in the last days when false prophets and teachers arise with miracle-working wonders at every hand, that the whole world would be deceived, Matthew 24:24. And that except those days should be shortened, even the very elect could be deceived if it were possible. How is it possible for the very elect to be deceived? Except that the things that are happening in Matthew 24:24, as times get worse and worse, looks and feels like the real thing. Revelation 12:9 tells us that Satan is the one which deceives the whole world. The whole world has been deceived. You and I run around in the world in our jobs, doing whatever we do, doing business, trying to be honest, and we rub shoulders with deceivers all the time. And we have to really watch what it is that we do, because it can rub off on us. How is this possible that Satan can deceive the whole world? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Fortunately, the next verse says that God knows it, but you know also Satan knows it. He knows that our heart can be deceived. He did a good job with Adam and Eve and several other of the fathers, our forefathers in past history. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. Is that true? Is that not true? If mankind does not seek his creator for guidance, then he will be led by another spirit that intends his greatest harm. And that spirit, of course, is Satan the devil. 2 Timothy 3:3-1 says, This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasures, it says, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. If that is not today, I don't know what is. And there's lots of religion in the world having a form of godliness, or it looks like it, the deceit. Titus 1:16 says, They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Romans 16:18 says, For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts. The simples, how many have watched televangelism and watched many of the preachers on there? I'm not saying they all are necessarily trying to deceive anything, but they are deceived. And because of their good words and their fair speeches, and there's a numerous amount of them that are intending to lead people astray with good words and fair speeches that deceive the people into false conversions, into a false faith. God tells us that in his word that man shall be deceiving and being deceived, waxing worse and worse. In Galatians 6, he says, Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So what makes the difference for those who are deceived and for those who are not? How will you and I know that we are not deceived as we approach not only what we do every day in our daily life, but as we approach the end times? How do we know? Well, there are some steps you can take to help yourself. The first thing to do is to know right knowledge. It's not appropriate for us to just to hear anybody and to listen to anybody and to accept anybody, what anybody says, no matter how good it sounds. Right knowledge. You shall know the truth, Christ said, and the truth shall set you free. Christ tells us that he is the way, he is the truth, and the life. Turn with me to 2 John, if you will. Hopefully I make this short today. Do you notice that I looked up to the clock? Second John. Chapter 1, verse 1, 4 through 7, it says, And I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments, and this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Why? Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So right knowledge, knowing who Christ is, knowing what it is that he taught so that you won't be fooled, that you'll know when the great false prophets and teachers come out and they do all these miraculous wonders, that is not of God. You see, miracles and wonders of themselves do not prove God. But whenever God does do miracle and wonders, what you find is he does it for deliverance. He delivers. There's a purpose for what he does. But when the false teachers and prophets use miracles and wonders, its purpose is to deceive and to draw you away from a path that is right and good for you. The second reason that you will use, the second thing you can use to help you from being deceived is right understanding. Turn with me to Proverbs, if you will, Proverbs 3. That's way back there. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them up on the table of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. How are you going to not be deceived? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to figure out whether it's right or wrong what they're doing. Obviously, it's going to be wrong. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's key. That's how you should know he's going to direct your paths. If you're keeping his word, if you're keeping his commandments, nobody's going to be able to deceive you. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil, and it shall be what? Health to your navel and marrow to your bone. It's like no matter what's going on around you, if you keep the commandments of God, you allow God to direct your paths, you're going to be in good shape. The third thing that you want to pay attention to is that you will have wisdom to discern the truth. Proverbs 3:19 says, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, by understanding has established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, the clouds drop down, the dew. Verse 21 says, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So when you see these things going on, you should question. You should ask, where is this going? What's the purpose for it? Should I get involved? Oh, yeah, it looks good. Oh, yeah, it feels good. Hey, it might even taste good, but should I get involved? Well, the answer is, of course, you should not. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they shall be life unto your soul and grace to your neck. Then shall you walk in the way safely, your foot shall not stumble. When you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it comes. It's right around the corner. As far as I'm concerned, it's already here. For the Lord shall be your confidence and shall keep your foot from being taken. So how are you going to know what to do when all of a sudden somebody comes on TV or comes to Oklahoma City down in the brick town at the ballpark down there and all the crowds are coming down and everybody in Oklahoma City is coming down there saying, Christ is here. He's in the ballpark down there. You're going to say, well, is that right knowledge? Is that the truth? And whose understanding am I looking to? Am I looking to the announcer who says Christ is here, or am I asking the question that God asked me to ask, is this really me? And then to have the wisdom to discern the truth. We don't have to be deceived. We don't have to be deceived in business deals. It's hard sometimes not to as you go out and do your business deals. Nobody seems to want to tell the truth anymore. When you ask somebody, you go to ask a politician, well, how are we going to solve our social issues and what can you do right now to solve this social issue? Will you get a straight answer? I had an opportunity one time to ask a man who was running for the treasurer of Oklahoma, County what he was going to do to solve the embezzlement and the troubles and the problems that was going on in the Oklahoma fund, money funds. I couldn't get a straight answer. He went right around in circles. Said, well, we can't answer that right now. We'll have to get a committee together. We'll have to decide the factors. And then somewhere down the way, I said, well, how long down? Well, I can't tell you that now. But we got to get the committee together and get all the facts, and then we'll make a decision. I said, what is your stand then on the issue? Well, he says, I can't really just give you a right out blank answer. I got to think about it, and then I'll be back later in the next town meeting. We'll talk about what my issues are. So I got up and I said, in other words, you mean you're not going to do anything. And you could have heard a pin drop. So I got up and walked out because I knew he wasn't going to do anything. So we are subject to deceptions on every side, but we don't have to be deceived. The thing we need to do is to remember that if we keep the commandments of God, if we practice the way of God, we will be okay.